I'm John Bouch of the Friends of History Debating Society with my colleague and friend, Devin Nunes, who is now the CEO, the big boss of Truth Social. That's a social media platform. Devin travels the country talking to people about it, and it's growing very quickly. However, he travels the country at a particularly important time. We can't tell where we are in the recovery from the pandemic. We can't even tell if the pandemic's over, given that Omicron keeps coming again and again and again to people who are fully vaccinated. I have colleagues who now have it for the third time, Omicron. And while it's not deadly, it certainly is debilitating, and they can't see their grandchildren. They don't know when to see their grandchildren. Are we going to move to a place where you have to keep a testing kit by the front door? I don't know. However, more important to me is the economy. Devin, you've traveled East Coast, West Coast. I know we've exchanged thoughts about this. The price of gasoline weighs on everyone. Can you tell beyond the price of gasoline? Are people in despair? What we associate with recession is joblessness. Do you hear stories like that?
Well, John, I think there's been a tipping point now where a lot of these blue states, the chickens are coming home to roost, so to speak. None of this has made sense for quite some time during the pandemic, where these big blue mega cities, city states, so to speak, as I like to call them, where they could just have lockdowns indefinitely and masks indefinitely. And the one thing that I do notice, spending a lot of time in my past going between California and Washington, D.C., and then having the freedom tours that we talked about a lot all through 2021, where I was out in more of kind of mid the heart of the United States, and the issue there was they couldn't find anyone to work. But then you would go into these cities in California and into places like Washington, D.C., and it was just empty, like a ghost town. And you're talking about a lot of stranded investment, and they got more and more dangerous as time went by, and still are. So having now been recently in Washington, D.C. and in New York City, you just see a lot of the same things, where crime is running rampant for the most part. It seems to me, John, I don't know all the best places to go in New York City like you do. I'm not well-versed, but I had not been there since the beginning of COVID, so whatever that's been, 2.5 years. And I just found it really strange. I'm pretty sure the area that I was staying at is a midtown, which seems to be not far from all the big attractions where you get tourists. I saw some tourists, but not very many. The hotels that I used to stay at were closed, but I was in kind of the more touristy area. And John, I did a few television interviews there, and went to just go by and get something to eat. And I was worried that I saw a little Italian restaurant, looked like a nice place, and I thought, well, gosh, I hope I'm going to be able to get in, because as you know, John, at 8, 9 o'clock New York City, that's a prime time for place to get something to eat. And John, I was floored. I mean, this was a restaurant that had great reviews. Looked like it had been completely remodeled. The weather was actually very, very nice, surprisingly. And John, there were three tables in there. And by the time we sat down, our small group, the other tables had left, and we were the only ones in there. As you know, that's just, and this was in a popular Italian restaurant in kind of the heart of Manhattan. So I think it's pretty telling.
I've heard stories. I've not been in New York regularly for some time. I'm out here in the country in Connecticut, and I'm going to be going to New York soon enough, and I puzzle about the city recovering. However, you've also traveled in other parts of the country where the recovery is more in place, and that's why I'm concerned about the economy, especially the price of gasoline. It weighs on everyone. Let me ask the question. I came in the other night, I spoke to Sydney, Australia. They have empty shelves, not because they don't have food. Australia has great food. It's wintertime. But because the trucks don't have the diesel fuel to get the food to the markets everywhere in the country. It's a big continent. Do you see anything like that in Florida or California? Empty empty shelves, spotty empty shelves, not because the food doesn't exist, but because of transportation and fuel?
Well, I will tell you, and I didn't get to, I was kind of telling you the my dark trip to New York City in Washington, D.C., but I will tell you, having spent a lot of time in Florida, it's like living in a different planet. And one thing is always true whenever I am flying into Florida or leaving Florida. Nearly every single time, John, it's definitely every flight. It's definitely every flight when I'm waiting to get on the plane at you know, whatever airport I am in, headed into Florida, out of Florida, multiple people. Sometimes there could be, 10 or 15 people that I talk to, but they have one thing in common. They are all new people that have moved from a blue state into Florida. Now, some of these people, it's interesting to hear their story. Some of them had been, they're nearing retirement. And they've been vacationing in the winters. I think they call them snowbirds that go from the Midwest and the Eastern Seaboard down to Florida in the wintertime. But John, it's two different Americas. It's vibrant. People are happy. It's full. And as you know, right now in Florida, it's warm. This is not the vacation time, but I can tell you this, in the slowest time of Florida, which is right now, was a lot busier in what should be one of the busier times in Manhattan, summertime with tourists in kind of what was the old America. But that's not what you see today. So you've seen an influx of people moving into Florida. The Republican registration continues to climb there. And it sure seems like it's safe, it's vibrant, and much different than what I saw in New York, Washington, D.C., or California. And I know what you're asking me. How does this play out? And John, the answer is, I don't know. I don't think we've ever seen anything like this. So I as an agricultural guy, I am worried. We are having problems here in California exporting, getting products out of the country. We grow a lot of those products that really are exported around the world because it's one of the only places they grow, like pistachios and almonds and walnuts and things of that nature. And they're having, continuing to have this trouble of getting them overseas. And then, I just know this much. You can't continue to shut down energy production in this country like the Biden administration has done, whether it be ANWR, where you've got the Alaska pipeline, nearing a point where it could be shut down. You have the Keystone Pipeline. You have all the other pipelines that need to be built. You have the ports that really, if they're serious about taking on and being a counterbalance to Russia and Europe, there's only one way you can do it. The United States would have to have massive shipping of LNG, liquefied natural gas, from North America to Europe. Well, that's not happening either. So, there's just a lot of roadblocks that the Biden administration has put up that make no sense. They're not changing. And so I think from what I can tell, you're going to continue to see these problems be exacerbated in the blue states. And I think the red states, although $5 gas in Florida is not great, which is what I paid the other day. I think I paid $4.70. But remember, John, that's what I was paying in California before all this.
Yeah,
nonsense.
It's $8 in California. It's close to $7 in Orange County. It's much higher in north of California, much higher.
Exactly. So I don't know how this ends. I think we're in uncharted territory, and I guess that's why we often do these podcasts over the weekend. It's a good way for us to catch up, talk about issues, and we'll learn a lot. And I'm sure next week or two, we'll talk again.
I'll end with this. This is from London, The Economist, which is a left of center publication I follow very closely, because if it's worried, we're worried. Soaring food and fuel prices are the most excruciating form of inflation. If the prices of furniture or smartphones rise, people can delay, but they cannot stop eating. Likewise, transport costs are baked into every physical good, and most people cannot easily walk to work. So when food and fuel grow dearer, standards of living tend to fall abruptly. The pain is most intense for city dwellers in poor countries who spend a huge part of their income on bread and bus fares. Unlike rural folk, they cannot grow their own crops, but they can riot. They're looking to a a winter of discontent, Devin, around the world.
It's very possible. And look, this is one of the advantages that we have in the United States of America, but not just the Democratic Republic that was created at the outset, where you have these, when there are now 50 states that can really, some can shine based on making the right political calls and business calls. But also we are blessed in this country with an abundant food supply. And so, but like you said, if you can't get it, if you have supply chain problems and you can't get it to where it needs to be, who knows what's going to happen?
Devin Nunes is the CEO, the guru of Truth Social, traveling the country, reporting back to his colleagues about how America is right now aware that things are not going well. Will they repair themselves? Or this is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.